So over the next little while, we're going to be looking at a variety of things that the Bible says are new when we're in Christ. And as I began to prepare that series and lay it out, there's this verse that kind of, it caught my attention. It's a verse in 2 Chronicles, and if you read the context, it's not a very encouraging passage, as much of the history of the kings of Israel and Judah tend to be discouraging because the kings simply did not obey God. But God was constantly giving them a chance and a choice to turn from their wickedness, to turn away from the things that were taking the people away from God. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, the first part of verse 9 says this, and this is where I want to key in on today's message. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Now, the last half of the verse talks about the king was not one of those at the time. And he had done some very foolish things, and you can read that history of his life and see how that all played out. But to consider the eyes of the Lord roaming the earth for the very purpose of strengthening those who are fully committed to Him. I listen to that and think, wow, what does it take to be one that God strengthens because I'm fully committed to Him? I think we recognize that if we're made new in Christ, then it changes how we live, how we act, how we do life together. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says, He calls the crowd to Him, this is Jesus, and says, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. This morning I want to bring a message I've entitled, All In. And it's this message of that full commitment, of that devotion to God. Because I think sometimes we live life in between. We're aligned with God, but we're also aligned with self. We kind of walk this middle ground that we think makes everybody happy, and in the end it doesn't result in anything good. So I want us to consider this morning what it looks like to live as one who is all in. In 1 Kings chapter 18, and you see this a few times throughout Scripture as God calls His people to make a choice. And in this particular context, Elijah is the prophet of God. He's called by God's command, by God's instructions, the prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel, and they have this big showdown. And the prophets of Baal are crying out to their God, and they're cutting themselves, and they're doing everything that they can to get their God to respond, and it's just not working out. But in the midst of this, Elijah comes in 1 Kings 18:21, and he says, he goes before the people, and he says, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And I think sometimes we live life in that in-between. We like the things of God, the things of Scripture that, well, suit us. But we like the things of the world that tend to suit us as well. And when they become in conflict with one another, we're kind of confused as to how we approach life from there. And I think God calls us to the same question that Elijah asked. How long will you waver between two gods? Are you all in? When I think about what that looks like, I think for many, and I'm not a big sports fan, but I'm guessing there are many in this room and watching online that watched a few football games yesterday. And one of the things that we like to see if we're following a team of any sport is a group of players that are all in. And there are times where we watch a game and it is so lopsided and one-sided in the outcome that we begin to question, was that team really all in, or were did they even show up? And I like it when I see a game that's close, that's going back and forth, and because I don't really have a team that I follow, it really doesn't matter to me that much who wins. I like to see that both teams are all in. They're giving it everything they have. And regardless of the outcome, they can leave the field thinking, I put it all there, and I did my best. And when I think about living for Christ, I think about living all in such a way that whether the outcome is what the world judges as successful or not, we can say, I gave it my all, and I did my best. This morning, we're going to do an outline that's a little different than my usual one. Some of you are looking at all in and you're thinking, boy, those are both short words. And we're going to actually use in, but it's not using the letters of the word in. We're going to look at it, three different ins. And if we want to be all in, what does it look like in our everyday life? And I think one of the places that I see the foundational elements of being all in is in Acts chapter 2. It's the birth of the church. It's that foundation where people have to choose, do I serve self or do I serve God? Do I live obediently or do I live for self? And when we look at what it means to be all in, the first thing that I notice to be all in is that we become all invited. You see, in order to be all in, we recognize that it includes and is offered to anyone who wants to receive and respond to that invitation. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a pretty all-in statement. Everyone is invited. Everyone has the opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord, to come to Him. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Did you catch those whoever? All invited. If we're going to live all in, then we live in a way that invites others to join us. This relationship with Christ, this being a part of the body of Christ, is not exclusive to us. It's not exclusive to those that we like. It's not exclusive to those that agree with us all the time. It's not exclusive by our choice. It's a matter of all being invited by God Himself, by the blood of Jesus. And when we begin to live all in, we begin to invite anyone and everyone to come, as the Spirit did in that final chapter of the book of Revelation. Come, whoever will come and taste of the tree of life, whoever will join, come. You see, we learn that we're being made new in Christ when we're all in. And God's desire, the Bible says that His desire, His will, is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do we live like that? Do we see people in life that we, even if we have the opportunity, we avoid inviting them, we avoid talking to them about Jesus because we're thinking, I don't know that I want that. And there are times we base that on a lot of different things. Maybe it's their activity. Maybe it's the way they live life. Maybe it's their economic level. Maybe it's their race. Maybe it's all of these things that we use to divide ourselves in the world that God says should not happen. And we live all in when we live as those that are in all inviting. And we're willing to say to anyone that we cross paths with this week, come. Yeah, come to church with me, but more importantly, come to Jesus. Are you one that has accepted that invitation You see, that's where it begins. It's one thing to be all inviting, but we have to accept that for ourselves, that that invitation includes me. It's not something I can decide for you. It's not something anyone else can say, okay, you're part because I want you part of it. When we look at that all inviting, we recognize that it's a personal invitation. We may be the conduits from which the invitation goes from God to someone, but it is His invitation. And we have to either accept it or reject it. And it's my prayer that everyone would accept that invitation of God, that would be that whosoever comes and takes the free gift of the water of life. So as we consider what it looks like to live all in, I think we look at this idea of living as those who are all inviting. And I would ask that you take just a moment to consider. Maybe even as I've spoke about that invitation, there have been names that have come to your mind. There have been faces that have shown up in your mind, and God saying, invite them. And whether the easiest thing to do is to invite them to come to church with you, that's a good start. But the bigger invitation is to invite them to know Jesus. I would love to see this place packed multiple times each weekend. But that's not nearly as important as seeing the kingdom packed with people that say yes to Jesus, regardless of whether they ever worship here or not. And we become all in when we invite those that we encounter. Secondly, we become all in when we become all instructed. Going on in Acts chapter 2, jumping down to verse 37. Probably a familiar passage to many, particularly within the Christian church. Peter has delivered this incredible message about who Jesus is and about what the people have done in crucifying him, about why that took place, about what the result of the crucifixion and the resurrection was. He had given some great instruction, but there were still questions. At the end of the message, verse 37 of Acts 2, that says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter continues with the instruction. Verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. There are times that we invite, and then there are times that we instruct. If we're living life for Christ, if we're living that our good deeds can be seen before others, there ought to be those moments that people ask, well, what should we do? What should our response be? How do we respond to what God's doing? And when we're all in, we become those that are not only all instructed, but we become those that are all instructing. It's not simply the job of a few. It's not my job, it's solely. It's not the elder's job solely. It is our job, it is our responsibility to have some oversight and leadership in that, but it's the job of every believer to instruct those that God brings into your life, to share with others what God has done for you. That's the most effective way that this instruction takes place. And when you can share those personal stories, when you can let others know how God has encountered your life, how He has impacted your life, how He has changed your life, because most of the times, those people that you interact with throughout the week are people that you have something in common with. Perhaps it's a common workplace. Perhaps it's a common recreational activity that you enjoy. But when they can see the work of Jesus in the midst of that situation, then you can instruct based on how God has helped you. As I thought about today, and it just amazes me to see how God works in a time frame that is beyond what I typically desire, in a time frame that is His alone. 23 years ago, I came to Deer Run, and some of you know this story, others, it's probably a surprise, but I came here to hide. I had just finished a ministry that had ended very badly. I'd been told I had no business being in ministry, and I was not about to reject God, and so I came to a church that I had thought would not know me, and I could just slip in and hide and just go about life in the background. God had other plans, and before that year was over, I was brought on staff as a children's minister and have worked in a connection with Deer Run since then in one fashion or another, and bringing me to the point today that I look and think, what am I doing to go from that guy that came to hide to the guy that's been given this title, this role of senior minister? And I say it's that story that says God continues to work even when we don't understand what He's doing or why He's doing it. And we share those stories not to brag on ourselves, not to say anything good about ourselves necessarily, but to share the instruction of God that says He doesn't give up. And I think there are people in your life, just as there have been people in my life, that reach a point of saying, you could never do that. And the more we hear that, the more we believe it. And if those things are not things that God has said in His Word we shouldn't be doing, then we need to hear that instruction of God that says, you are my child, created for a purpose, created for good works that I prepared in advance for you to do. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is to continually wait upon the Lord, because we have our own schedules and timetables and things that we think ought to take place. And when God says, hold on, you're not ready yet, there are times we just push back and say, I think I am. And then we struggle and we suffer and we can't figure out, why didn't that work like I thought it should have worked? And it's because we failed to listen to the instruction of God. And so those who are all in are those who are all instructed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes and he says, finally, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. And when I read that, I realize that this instruction is never ending. We never reach a point that we say, I've learned it all. We have Bible reading calendars out in the foyer that you can pick up, and they'll help you read through the Bible in a year. And guess what? You read through that Bible in a year, you can't get a certificate at the end that says, I know it all. It just doesn't work that way. When we're all in, we're all instructed, we're all continuing to learn, we're all continuing to teach one another. It's part of being that family that we learn from one another and we teach one another. And so we come and we gather and we hear God's Word and we share God's Word. And some of that teaching takes place in this building. Randy's teaching a class through Proverbs. We're off another week yet for Christmas break, but that'll return a week from this Wednesday on Wednesday nights. And we'll be adding other classes and things and teaching opportunities and learning opportunities as the year goes along, because we believe that those who are all in need to be all instructed. And finally, as we look at what it means to be all in, not only are all invited, not only are all instructed, but all are involved. Acts chapter 2, back to that, verses 41 through 43. After the instruction that was given, verse 41 says, those who accepted his message were immersed, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. It goes on and explains that they would gather and they would share what they had so that no one would have need. But if you look at that, it says awe. Everyone. They devoted themselves to prayer and to teaching, the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. And as they did this, everyone was filled with awe. Everyone was involved in what was going on. It wasn't a matter that there were these cliques or these small groups that were isolated and never interacted with anyone else. I believe there's importance in small groups and getting together with smaller groups of individuals to study and to learn and to encourage, but not to the exclusion of the whole. Those are simply designed to help us to grow, to help equip us, to help us to serve one another, to help us to be involved. And I know there are many times we hear that and we think, well, all involved, I can't do anything. I said, well, I'm not sure that's true. Perhaps you've not found yet what you can do. Perhaps what you can do, you don't want to do. I think, and I've shared this before, I think of Susan, and she'll put those prayer inserts in the bulletin every week. And many would look at her and say, well, she can't do anything. Well, yes, she can. And I think if she can, why can't you? I know there's constantly needs within our children's ministry for teachers and helpers on Sunday morning to be able to build that foundation of care and teaching and instruction so that our children can grow up all in, so that they can know that they are cared for, they are loved, they are wanted. They're not just set aside, or they're not just pushed aside and kind of set out of our way, but there are people that invest in their lives, and that they in turn would invest in the lives of others. It always encourages me greatly when I see children that grow up into teens and they're involved doing this and that. And we have them working on the soundboard and the video and doing this and that. And you think that's what the body ought to be. That it's not preparing them for the future, it's preparing them for now. And that they too are all in, because they're all involved just as we are. Sometimes some of the most challenging verses in Scripture are those that will make it clear that even though God wants us to be all in, that sometimes we won't be. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. When I think about being all in, it's obvious that there are things that are needed done around a church building and facility. There are things that need done among our children and our teaching times. But there are things that need done in your workplace. There are things that need done in the marketplace. There are things that need done wherever you are. And it's easy for me to say, well, come here and serve in the children's ministry. Come here and serve doing this. And those are important things, and we definitely encourage you to be involved here. But I think God says, not only become involved here, become involved Monday through Saturday as well. become involved as you take the message of Jesus to your workplace. You have the opportunity to love people that perhaps will come to you not feeling loved at all. We, as you probably have noticed it, we have a culture and a society that is messed up. And there are a lot of broken people around us. There are probably a lot of broken people here in this room. Because we all experience that brokenness that sin brings into the world in one degree or another. And as important as it is to come and to be involved in the body and the fellowship and the encouragement, God says that we should not forsake the gathering together, the assembling of ourselves together, but we should do so even more as we see the day of Jesus approaching. Because the times are evil, and that we come together for the encouragement of one another. But that doesn't do a lot to help those in the world that have not yet chosen to be all in, if we're not also all being all involved wherever we are. And sometimes it's that tough job of listening without condemning. We may not agree with what they're doing. God may not agree with what they're doing, but they still need to know His love. I don't have the power to transform a person's life. God does. And when we're all involved in the workplace, when we're all involved in the marketplace, when we're all involved in the places of recreation and things that we do for enjoyment in life, we can share and love and embrace the broken people of this world. And we can know that God can do a work that seems impossible. We know that because we've seen Him do it in our life. And when we sit with those that are hurting, when we sit with those that are broken, and we invite and we instruct and we're involved, we represent Jesus in a way that perhaps they've never seen before. Sometimes people look at the church, and even if they're invited to church, they view, well, those Christians are different than what I am. And in a sense, that's true, or at least it ought to be true. But in another sense, it isn't. I know that sounds odd that I'm saying both are true. But we've been there. We may have been transformed by the blood of Jesus, but we've been where they're at. Now, obviously, not all of us have been where every other person has been. We have unique journeys through life. But for those that are hurting and broken, we've been there in one way or another. And our invitation is not an invitation of make-believe. It's not an invitation of perhaps. It's an invitation of certainty. Today, as we begin this series on being made new in Christ, I wanted to start with this as the foundation, because we're made new in Christ when we choose to be all in. When we get off the fence, when we decide that going through the motions isn't cutting it, it has to be real. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, the question I think for every one of us, it's a tough question to answer. Because I'm guessing if you're anything like me, there will be days and moments in your life that your answer will be different from other days and moments. But the question is, are you all in? And there are times that I can boldly and confidently say, yes, I am. But I'll let you in on a little secret. There are days and moments in my life that I would have a struggle to answer truthfully, yes, I'm all in. It's a journey. It's a process. It's a commitment. But it's one that we work on every day. As you come to that point of decision and you wrestle with God on that question of, are you all in? Perhaps you'll want to break it down into those three areas. Who are you inviting? First off, have you accepted God's invitation? And once you have accepted His invitation, who are you inviting? Or maybe more importantly, who are you choosing not to invite? God says we should invite all. He does. How much instruction are you getting? Who are you instructing? Are you continually learning? One of the things that I try to do each year is to come up with a new, what I call continuing education. A lot of fields of study have that, even within ministry. There are things that I just set aside and say, I'm going to spend some focused time and learn something from someone else to receive that instruction so that I can pass it along. We're never too old to learn something new. It just becomes more difficult the older we get, at least in my experience. Are you all instructing and being instructed? Are you all involved? Are you doing what you can do? I'm not asking you to compare yourself to anyone else. It's not how it works. God holds us accountable for what He knows that we can do through Him. And that's the question of being all involved. Are you doing what you can? Are you trusting God to do what He calls you to do, even if you think you can't? Because there is a big difference between what you can do and what you think you can do. And what you can do has to include God in the equation. As we reach this point of decision, will you decide to live as one that's all in? If you have a decision to make, whether it's surrendering to Jesus for the first time to have your sins washed away, or whether it's just a public decision that God is saying, you know, you need to live more all in and you need others to know that that's your commitment. I pray that you make that decision this morning. If it needs to be a public decision, you're welcome to come as we stand and as we sing.